Open your Bible, please, to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17, we are looking at what John records as the vision of the judgment of God on the great whore. In verse 5, we left off here yesterday, upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. As we were closing out the broadcast yesterday, we were mentioning the association or the identification that had been given to the great whore by various groups in history. And quite frankly, it's very difficult to shake the identity that the reformers handed out on the great whore because of the description of what John records here. Now, there are those who say, well, no, that's not it at all. We have here in Babylon the Great, we have, and then the theories and the guesswork sprout like weeds. There are those that would say, no, this is a rebuilt Babylon, the city Babylon. There are those that would go, and I've heard people say, well, this Babylon here in chapter 17 and chapter 18 is the United States of America, and on it goes. Now, I think the best thing to do is allow the scripture to speak for itself. As long as we've been on the air, I have tried to avoid simply saying, now this is the way it is, and being dogmatic and giving you my interpretation of a thing and letting it stand like that and you can take it or leave it. I don't want that. We have too many men who are doing that today who are simply handing out pat answers or their own personal interpretation, and you're supposed to buy that. I want you to see what the Bible says. Okay? Now, let's turn, please, back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 13. Now, if you can, I would like for you to turn with me in your Bible. If you're driving or working, you don't have access to the Old Testament. Maybe you only have a New Testament. I'll give you this. I'll read it to you. But if you make note of it, you can look it up for yourself. Isaiah chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading with verse 19. Isaiah chapter 13, beginning with verse 19, and Babylon. Now here, Isaiah is speaking of the city, the capital of the Babylonian Empire. The context of Isaiah's writing, remember, the nation, the empire, the Babylonian Empire, has come to power, has swallowed up the Assyrian Empire about 200 years prior to the events that Isaiah is talking about. And it has become one of the early great world empires, or world insofar as it was known then, as far as civilization was concerned and the population centers. You will find that as the Babylonian Empire has come to power, that Babylon is going to swallow up the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, the 10 northern tribes, had been taken into captivity and deported by the Assyrian Empire. Now, those people who have gone into the diaspora, as it were, the dispersed, under the Assyrians, are pushed further afield by the conquest of the Assyrians, by the Babylonians. Now, Isaiah speaks, or God speaks through Isaiah, concerning the destruction and the desolation that is going to be visited upon Babylon by God. If you go back to chapter 13, verse 1, the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, did see, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain, exalt the voice unto them, shake the hand that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. And he goes on. You will note it says in verse 4, the noise of a multitude on the mountains, alike as a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven unto the Lord, even the Lord, and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Now, you keep in mind that this is introduced as the burden of, or the prophecy against, Babylon. Now, as we move on down through here, I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can read it for yourself. But the pertinent point I would like to call your attention to, beginning with verse 19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll find that Sodom and Gomorrah were overthrown with a great overthrow, to the point where they were obliterated. The location of Sodom and Gomorrah is not known today. Please keep in mind, and this is in passing, the reason that the scripture gives for the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was of the horrendous immorality that was rampant there. Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodom is associated with a name even today in our language, sodomy. Homosexuality was the thing that brought Sodom and its sister city Gomorrah under the gun, as it were, as God judged it. The possibility of finding where they were, about the only thing that people have been able to associate as being the likely resting place of the ruins of Sodom and Gomorrah are in the depths of the Salt Sea, or the Dead Sea over in Israel. Now, you will notice, please, that the destruction of Babylon was going to be consistent with and like the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah when God overthrew them. Verse 20, it shall never be inhabited. What won't? Babylon, the city, shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelled in from generation to generation. Now, that doesn't mean you might have people trying. It doesn't mean that you won't have people, camped out around there. But watch, neither shall the Arabian pitch his tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts, verse 22, wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. Owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolation, in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come, her days shall not be prolonged. Who? Babylon. Babylon as a city was taken Babylonians and the Chaldeans, by the Medes and the Persians. And the Persians kept Babylon as a capital city, a major city, for quite some time. However, in the passing of time, you'll remember that Babylon was destroyed. Alexander the Great had a terrible passion against the Persian Empire. And so when the Greek Empire came to power, eventually made its way across to Babylon and the Persian Empire, it was leveled to be rebuilt no more. Now, it's my understanding that Saddam Hussein thought he was going to be the next Nebuchadnezzar. Won't happen. Didn't happen. Won't happen. God said it wouldn't. Now, if we rule out a reconstructed city of Babylon, we are talking about something here that is named Babylon. It's interesting. Babylon has a long history of subterfuge. It is in Babylon, the early leadership of Babylon, under Nimrod Barkush and his wife Semiramis. Semiramis was an immoral woman and was found to be pregnant, not by Nimrod, her husband. And instead of admitting, yes, I've been unfaithful, instead she laid claim that the child that she was bearing was the fulfillment of the promise that God had given Eve back in the Garden of Eden, talking about the seed of the woman. Now we know from Genesis chapter 3, we're talking there about the proto-evangelium, that is the gospel in its earliest form, the first intimation of it. Semiramis claimed that promise, and from this woman there arises a mystery religion that's centered upon the son that she bore. His name was Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z. You will find in the Old Testament references to Tammuz and the weeping for Tammuz. Tammuz, these mystery religions that got started in Babylon were adopted, carried abroad by the Phoenicians. It showed up in the Philistines, and it showed up in the Egyptians. Isis and Horus, the Philistines, with Ashtaroth and Dagon. You find among the Romans, you have Cupid and Aphrodite. You've got these different and varying mystery religions that all emphasized and put their focus on the mother and child. I find it singularly interesting that there is another religion that is not wrapped up in the dust of history, that also today worships the mother and child. Not the King of Glory, but the Mother of God. I am being hesitant to come out and boldly say, this is the Roman Catholic Church. I believe that the Roman Catholic Church is very close to fulfilling everything you see here. However, I don't think it's in its final form yet. So whether or not it's called by that name or not, at the time of the fulfillment of this, remains to be seen. However, upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, the Abomination and Abominations of the Earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, the word admiration here doesn't mean respect as we would use it today, but kind of like a slack-jawed marveling. What in the world? Now, if this is going to be viewed as being connected with Roman Catholicism, then there needs to be more than just wind work. There needs to be more than some private interpretation attached to this, okay? The woman was drunken with the blood of the saints. In history, do you recall the office of the Holy See? Do you know what that is? The office of the Inquisition? Are you familiar with the Spanish Inquisition? We'll talk more about this on the next broadcast. And until then, stay in the Word of God. We'll come back to this tomorrow. And join me then as we continue our study.